hardest part about being a lady?
Probably just having to deal with too much drama.
What's the hardest part about being a lady?
Always looking pretty.
When it's really hot, you can't just whip your shirt off. You gotta keep it on.
We're very emotional.
What's the hardest part about being a lady? What's the hardest part about being a lady?
Well, if I was a lady, I'd probably say it'd either have to be driving, because they tend to do that really bad, or probably getting ready in the mornings, because they take like forever.
Hardest part about being a lady?
If I was a girl, I'd either have to say the frequent mood swings or wearing dresses.
Yeah.
That's it?
I don't know enough about women.
What's the hardest part about being a lady?
Having children.
Having babies.
Yes, having babies.
About being a lady?
Yeah.
Acting like a lady.
Gosh. Probably that you never have enough clothes.
Well, from my perspective, I would have to say that Mother Nature.
But dealing with men is not fine.
What's the hardest part about being a lady?
Turning down all them men out there. I'll tell you what, boy.
Well, I would imagine having to deal with guys. Because that's the thing.
Shopping for bras.
Someone in our lives, they add to that. They add to the love and to the beauty. So
I wanted to tell you all a little bit about myself. I came from a very strong Christian home. From an early age, I had a very strong desire to stay and remain a virgin until I was married. I didn't smoke or drink or cuss, and I usually would not date guys that did those things. I wanted to date a guy that had a very strong relationship with Christ and who didn't party and drink. So I was very picky about who I dated, and I remained a virgin all through high school and college until my junior year of college. And I started dating a guy who was about 8 years older than I was, and he was very involved in his church. But when we're talking about beautiful, here's a girl who I just wanted to be loved. I just wanted someone to tell me that I was beautiful, and I fed off of attention. That's how I felt love, attention from guys, you know, telling me you're hot, you look good, I would love to sleep with you. Even though I was a virgin, like, that became love to me. When a man would say that to me, that equaled, wow, he really cares about me. So a bit of advice for you guys, I think the best compliment that you can give a girl is, you're beautiful. You know, I admire your walk with Christ. Don't say any of this junk of, you're sexy, you're hot, I want to sleep with you, because girls, that's not a compliment. Really, it's an insult, because you don't want a man looking at you as an object or a piece of meat, and that's what I was. I became an object to this guy, and in wanting to fulfill this need of me, wanting to be loved and wanting to be beautiful, I so desperately just wanted him to love me, I gave my virginity to him. I was 21 years old. I had held off. I ended up getting married at 24, so really, I mean, I had 3 more years to go to give that gift to my husband, and I gave it to someone whom I thought loved me. I thought, he knows that I don't want to have sex until I'm married with my husband, and if he willingly has sex with me, that means he's going to marry me. That means that he loves me. Well, we had sex. We broke up 3 days later. 3 days after that, he was with another girl in a restaurant that I walked in to eat dinner at. So you all know it didn't mean the same thing to him that it meant to me. Here was this most prized possession that I had that I was saving for my husband, and he willingly accepted it from me, and then we broke up and he went out with another girl. So that's where my downhill spiral started. I went from, you know, being with him, and he got very wrapped up in porn and Playboy magazines. And I know Brent has spoke a lot about that and the damage that it can do. And it's not just damage to you guys, but you, that becomes how you define beauty. And so he defined beauty by looking at this, watching porn and looking at Playboy magazines. So I became this object of, you will be beautiful when you get a boob job. You will be beautiful when you have surgery and you make your nose smaller. You'll be beautiful when you replace your teeth and get porcelain veneers. So I was no longer this awesome Christian girl that had a great personality. I became this object to him of, I think you're beautiful, but you would look even better with bigger boobs. And honestly, I had never thought about my nose before. I would look in the mirror, I didn't think it was big or small. I mean, I used it to smell, and that was about it. But to this day, when I look in the mirror, all I see is my nose. And the guys were teasing me earlier, saying they were going to put a picture up of Humpty. It's an old MTV music video, but the dude had the biggest, yes, he was known for his nose. But every time I look at a picture of myself, that's all I see. It doesn't matter how good my hair looks, what a cute outfit I have on, how many times somebody tells me I look good, because he fed into my insecurities. All I see is my nose now. So the point in saying all that is, I want to encourage you all, when you do date somebody, don't ever date someone who feeds into the insecurities that you have. And us as women, I think we have a lot of them. And if you're with a guy who encourages the negativity, you're with the wrong guy. God doesn't want us to be with anyone who agrees with our faults and our flaws. The Bible says in Psalms 45:11, that the king is enthralled by your beauty. And when you break down the word enthralled, it means to be held captive, to be spellbound. And I don't know about you all, but I am married, and I would love for my husband to come to me, and more than anything, whether saying I want to have sex with you, or I think you're hot, I think you're sexy, I want him to say, I'm captivated by you. I'm spellbound by you. I mean, how many of you girls would love for a guy to be just, I mean, just to stand in awe of you? And that's how God feels about us. And knowing what I know now, if I could go back, I would have my relationship with Christ so strong, and to know that I'm worthy of someone being spellbound by me and being held captive, not because I'm an object, but because of my relationship with Christ, that I am worthy of that. I would never have fallen for the guys that I have fallen for. And that's what I want for you all, guys and girls alike, more than anything. And for you guys to have such a relationship with Christ, that that's what you aspire to be, that you want a woman that you can respect because she's beautiful. And don't look at her just for the outside appearance of what she can offer you, because we're so much more than that. So again, going back to this guy on my downhill spiral, after I gave myself to him and we broke up, we did end up getting back together and we got engaged, but that didn't last. And so I moved on to another guy because I was so starved for attention that I would feel that with guy to guy to guy to guy. I always had to have a guy because God forbid that I was lonely. I mean, you know, that's a sin if you don't have a boyfriend in my eyes. So when things were going down here with him, I went on to another guy who was involved in church, and I ended up having sex with him. So, and then I ended up having sex with my ex again. So how do I go from being a virgin to, in a couple of months' time frame, there was a period in my life that if I had become pregnant, I wouldn't have known who the father was. So how do you go from being a virgin who is on the praise team, extremely hungry and seeking God, over here to a girl that if I had gotten pregnant, I would have been like, well, you know, you might be the dad or you might be the dad. I really don't know because I just had sex with both y'all in like a week's time. I mean, how does that happen? And when I started thinking about it, it happens because my identity was wrapped up in men. My being and my importance evolved around whether that man thought I was attractive or not. And what it should have been wrapped up in is God. It should have been in Christ. And if that had been the foundation of my life, then I wouldn't have settled for all this stuff. I wouldn't have settled for wanting to have sex before marriage. I wouldn't have went down that path because my relationship with Christ would have met and fulfilled all those desires. And then, at the same time, I wouldn't have been dating these guys who didn't have their relationship where it needed to be with Christ. So what I want to encourage you all, I know you hear it every Sunday, how important it is to read your Bibles and be in the Word. But if you can get anything out of this, I feel like from my mistakes that I'm here to tell you all, that's why it's so important to have a relationship with Christ. And that's why it's so important to date like-minded people who have relationships with Christ, so that you both can be on the same page, wanting to grow deeper together with Christ instead of just looking on the outside appearance. And one thing my husband said to me when we were talking about this, he said, you really need to tell them that sex does not equal love and that love does not equal sex. And I know that that sounds so contradictory, but when you're dating, so many of my friends when I was in high school were having sex, and I was kind of envious because I was like, man, they love each other so much. But that does not equal love. I mean, I'm a prime example. He had sex with me, girls, and I can guarantee you, he did not love me. We're not together. We didn't have children together. We did not get married. He did not love me. It does not take love to have sex with somebody. And just because my husband, when we got engaged, because he did love me, we did not have sex. I did remain pure until we got married. And guess what? He loved me. And just because he did, we didn't need to have sex to prove that to each other. And you can ask any of the married couples that are in here, especially the women. I think I'll get an amen from them. In marriage, there is so much more to marriage than just sex. That's only one element that makes the marriage right. I mean, am I right, ladies? Like, that's not, you know, that's not the only thing that equals love. So I think that's so hard when you're dating to comprehend and understand. And sex is an amazing thing, but it's meant for marriage. And I can tell you, when Justin and I got married, on our honeymoon night, I had prayed for God to restore my virginity to me. And I believe that we serve a God who is in the business of restoring to us what the enemy stole from us. And I prayed for God to restore what the enemy has stolen from me. And I can tell you that I presented myself to my husband as pure and holy. And I can't tell you how much more special that experience was with my husband, because I felt true love for the first time in my life with a man, you know, with mankind. I knew that he loved me for me, that I wasn't just this object set before him to satisfy his desires, but, you know, it was a mutual thing that we were coming together through God. So to wrap up everything that I want you all to get, I just really want to drive home the point that, you know, to save yourselves from marriage, that through all of this, all of the hardships that I went through, and losing my virginity, the thing that was my most prized possession, I was able to find Christ and to know that my relationship with Him was the most important. And when I started thinking about this, I was like, God, please give me something that I can tell them that'll help them, you know, with what they're dealing with in school. So I started thinking about things that influenced me. I started thinking about, you know, where does your standard of beauty come from? What are you all looking at? Are you reading magazines? I know when I was in school, Cosmopolitan was huge. Like, I loved to get tips from Cosmopolitan. And if it said that guys loved it when girls smelled like vanilla, I was at Bath & Body Works smelling like vanilla. If they said they liked pink underwear, I wanted to wear pink underwear. So where is your standard of beauty coming from? What are you all feeding yourselves? Because one of my good friends back there, she's constantly saying, whatever you put in is going to come out. If you're constantly watching dirty movies, if you're constantly reading Cosmopolitan magazines, you're putting that in, that's what you're going to portray on the outside. So I just want to encourage you all to feed yourselves with good things. Feed yourself with the Word. And I can guarantee you, God's not telling you to wear racy, sexy underwear when you're in high school to get your boyfriend's attention. And He's not telling you you have to smell a certain way. And I think that was one of my biggest mistakes, is I didn't think for myself. I had no identity. If a guy said he loved blonde hair, I dyed my hair blonde. If he said he wanted me to wear a pink bathing suit, I wore a pink bathing suit. It didn't matter. I was just his puppet. It didn't matter what I thought, what I liked, what I desired. It was all what he thought was beautiful. And what so warped is his image of beauty was coming from the porn industry. So even if I got all the, you know, cosmetic surgery in the world, I could not be what he was looking for because his image of beauty was so warped. I mean, does this make sense? Like, I mean, the more I talk about it, it's just such revelation. Like, I couldn't be what he wanted me to be. So I encourage you all to get in the Word, to find out what Christ wants you all to be like, what He says that you all need to line up to be. And a scripture I wanted you all to write down is Galatians 5, 22-23. And it talks about the fruit of the Spirit. And I know you've probably heard this before, but it's things that Christ wants to see in our lives. And God says, I will know you by the fruit that you bear. So if we're truly following Christ, these are the things that we're going to project onto other people. And the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, and self-control. And that one really speaks to me, because when you're dating, you need self-control. Because I'm not sitting here saying that I'm better than you all, that you're bad if you have had sex. I'm just saying I know how hard it is. I've been down that road, so I encourage you all to really, you know, surround yourself with friends who have a like-minded desire of wanting to stay pure. Feed yourself the good things that you want to come out, that you want to project. Get into the Bible study and figure out, you know, what are the fruits of the Spirit. And be very careful with what you're feeding yourself, you know. It might be that you can't read the Cosmopolitan magazines because I know they're filled with sex tips. And that's what I did. And that's what I thought that I was supposed to be as a girl in a relationship. And I think about that and I'm like, how sad. You know, I'm sure God was just sitting in heaven probably weeping, thinking, daughter, I have so much more for you. I've got so much more than for you to have to settle for a guy that expects that of you. So when I contrast my life before and after, I noticed something that really changed in me was how I dressed. And like I said before, I was basically an attention slut. I would do whatever it took to get attention. I felt like I had a good body and I could get attention and I wanted attention. So if that meant wearing short shorts, I'd wear short shorts. If that meant showing my stomach, I'd show my stomach. I so badly wanted to be loved and wanted to be beautiful, and that's how I felt it. I could get attention from a guy in a split second if I wore the right clothes, and I knew that. So that leads me into my next point. When I was praying last night, God said, you know, women, it's like a double-edged sword. Like, we have this tool. God's made us so gorgeous and so beautiful, and we can either use it for bad or we can use it for good. I can dress and I can get men's attention in a negative way, or I can help the guys out in here, and when I go to the gym, I can dress like a woman of Christ. I can still look cute and stylish, but the guys are actually going to be able to complete their workout because my boobs and my butt aren't hanging out and they're not concentrating on that. And I think every guy in here that's been to the gym, you know what that's like. And I told the first service, you know, I'm a very happily married woman and I have kids, and, you know, if your cleavage is hanging out and your boobs are hanging out, I'm sorry, I can't have a conversation with you because all I'm doing is staring at your boobs. I mean, that's all I can see. So how do you think the guys feel? You know, they're like 17 years old and they have raging hormones and they're trying to talk to you and all they can see is like boobs, 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 boobs. I mean, that's what I hear when I look at you and I'm a girl. So, you know, I can't imagine how these guys feel. So I think our responsibility as women, you know, yes, we can say that there are perverted, sick guys out there and all they want to do is have sex. And yes, that's true. I ran into some of them. But I think it's time that we turn and we look at ourselves and we say, what am I doing as a woman of Christ, as a daughter of the Most High King who created me? What am I doing to draw negative attention to myself? And listen, I'm guilty of it. My husband has to call me out practically on a daily basis and be like, do you think that's appropriate? Do you think you should be wearing that? I think that's too tight. I think that's too short. And I'm like, good grief, can I look cute? Like, I just want to look cute. And he's like, but, you know, thinking from a man's perspective, I have to realize I do not want to be a stumbling block to any man that I ever come across. And yes, there's going to be guys that are eaten up with lust devils that are going to lust after me if I'm in, you know, one of those feed sacks with a bag over my head. But I think it's my responsibility as a woman to dress myself in a way that if he is seeking Christ and he's trying to have pure thoughts, that I'm not his stumbling block, that I don't come into his life and he feels like he can't even have a conversation with me because my butt cheeks are hanging out or my boobs are hanging out in his face. So that was something when I was talking to Brent that kept coming over and over and over in my head, that it is so easy to get attention and we all want to be beautiful. And the easiest way and fastest way to get attention is by the way we dress. So I really challenge you all and encourage you all to find people and listen. If you all have dads at home, ask your dad before you go out. He's going to tell you, like, you know, don't need to be wearing that. That's a little bit too risky. Call me. Ask me. I want to help you all, and I want to save you all the hell, honestly, the hell that I went through of losing, you know, what my identity was, what I thought that I was, and what I wanted to present to my husband. And I just have a few more points. The next thing is really be careful who you're friends with, who you're hanging out with. Again, you know, what you put in is what's going to come out. So you have to be really careful who you're dating. That's the biggest thing. And who you're friends with, because I've always heard the saying, if you're in a pool, and how many of y'all have been swimming and you act like you need help out of the pool, but you pull the person down into the pool? Have y'all done that? I think it's really fun. But that's what sin is. Like, if I'm a Christian and I'm up here on this stage and I'm like, yeah, I'm going to be a virgin, yada, 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 but I'm dating this guy who's having sex every single night of his life and getting drunk, you know, if he's down there and I'm up here, who do you think it's going to be easier to knock off their pedestal? Do you think it's going to be easier for me to pull him out of the water up to where I am? No, I'm going to come down to his level. So you'll have to be extremely careful. And that goes for guys, too. Listen, guys, I was one of those girls. My husband prayed every single day that we dated, God, protect me from the immoral woman. And listen, when Justin told me he prayed that, God spoke to me instantly and said, you're that immoral woman that I'm protecting him from. So I'm not just saying you guys are the perverts and we have to watch out for you. There are girls out there and their only goal is to have sex with you. And you have to be careful of that because, listen, I mean, I tried from the day I met Justin to get him to come on to me because that was the only way I had ever been shown love. And because he was a man of Christ, seeking Christ's heart, and he had his life in line with God where it needed to be, he didn't just want to have sex with me. He didn't come on to me and tell me that. When he met me, he looked at me and he said, well, you have half of the equation, meaning, yes, you're pretty, but I want to know, what's your relationship like with Christ? You know, what do you do to draw closer to God? And I was like, who is this freak? Like, where's he from? You don't want to, like, cuddle with me on the couch and kiss me? I mean, it was the weirdest thing I've ever been through in my life. And vision of what love was so warped. And honestly, to this day, it is still warped, and we still have disagreements because sometimes I still feel like, dude, you know, I'm an object. You're supposed to just look at me as an object, and he just views me how God made me. So I encourage you all to, it's so important who you date and who you're friends with, because that can really dictate a lot in your life. I want to tell y'all Psalms 37:4. It says that God will give us the desires of our heart. I encourage you girls and guys to make a list of what you want in a mate. I made a list, and this is the craziest part to everything, is my list, my number one thing was, well, two things. I wanted a guy who had put God first, and I wanted a guy who loved to worship God, who was into music and who led worship. And the guy that I lost my virginity to didn't even like to worship. That wasn't why he was called it. He didn't like to sing, couldn't sing. The second guy I had sex with, the same thing. So I'm like, okay, God, if I had stuck with the list that I prayed about and that we made, I would never have dated either one of those guys. So I think it's very important to pray, to seek God, to figure out. Don't date just to date, okay? You don't need to be dating just to date. Like, I mean, I just think it's such a useless thing. I did it, so it's easy for me to tell you all not to do it. But if you can handle not doing it, I think that's an amazing thing. But Psalms 37:4, God will give you the desires of your heart. And also another version says, in the secret petitions. So God formed you. He knows better than you what you want and what he created for you to desire. And when he gives you your mate, that person, when I met Justin and we got married, I said, you have things that I have always wanted. And listen to this, I never even asked God for. I never even prayed for. But when I met Justin and I knew we were going to get married, I said, these were things that God formed me to desire and to want to make me happy. He knew that that needed to fit into my mold to make me who I am. And that's what's so incredible about God, is when you give your life over to him, he is going to give you a person that is more perfect than if you sketched them out and hand-carved them yourself, because God created you. And don't you think the person that created you knows better than you do who you're supposed to be with? So that's what I want you all to think about. And the last thing that I wanted to say is, if you all have made the mistake, I'm sure there are people in here that have had sex, I just want to tell you all that we serve a sovereign God, and he has forgiven you, but he does love you. And believe me, if he can forgive me, I mean, good Lord, I had sex with two different guys in a week's time, and I would have known who the father was. Like, if God can use me, and he can love me, and he can give me the man of my dreams out of that, he can forgive anything that you all have done in here. So I just encourage you to set your standards high. Make every person that you come in contact with, whether it's a friend, a boyfriend, whatever, you know, line them up with Christ. If you set your standards up here and you want them to measure up to God, look at that. And if they don't measure up, if they're not fitting, then you're going to save yourself a ton of heartache. And through losing what, you know, I put my identity in and treasured so much was my virginity, even though I lost that and I so wanted to be a virgin when I got married, it was through that heartbreak and through that brokenness that God brought such restoration to my life and matured me and showed me himself in a way that, I mean, it blows my mind. And it was worth it because my relationship, I got it, my identity wrapped up in Christ where it needed to be. And the last thing I wanted to tell you all, I'm not sure if I already said it, but no man or woman can love you all like you need to be loved. That love can only come from Christ. It can only be fulfilled through a deep relationship with him. And then anything he gives you outside of a relationship with him, that's just icing on the cake. That just makes your life better. So I want to pray with you guys. And if there's anybody here that has not accepted Christ, I want to give the invitation for that. And I just want to pray over you guys. God, thank you for this message. Thank you for giving me the opportunity to speak to the youth today. And thank you for everything that I went through, God, because I know that it's going to be used to change lives. And God, if there is anybody here that has not accepted you, I just ask you all to pray this prayer with me and just say, thank you, God, for coming into my heart. I believe that you did die on the cross for me, that you died for my sins, and that you rose again. And I pray praise you and thank you for coming and living into my heart and changing my life forever. And God, I speak over every person here, anybody that has lost their virginity, that's had multiple sex partners, God, I just pray for healing into their lives right now. I thank you that you have forgiven them, God, that you have changed their lives, and they will never be the same. I praise you for all this, God, and it's in your name we pray. Amen.